right, welcome in, everybody. Sports Daily, KFH, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. Rick brings up the semantics of roster rules in the NFL. Hardman is a veteran. He says they can cut him and not worry about waivers claims. If he wants to sign his practice squad, they could allocate. I don't think with Hardman, I'm not sure how much of an appetite league-wide there would be for Hardman at this point. Maybe there would be. I think it feels kind of Chiefs or bust, so maybe he would potentially be a practice squad guy, which would be handy to have, right? He knows the system. He could get called up and help out immediately. So who knows? We'll get those roster decisions here pretty quick, and then we can all stop worrying about it. Tommy, the Royals, not worried about it, but we're excited about it. This stretch of games coming up is to be a challenge. And it starts tonight with Philadelphia. I mean, look, if we're talking tonight specifically, this is one that feels gettable. I mean, if you're talking about just looking at the starting pitching, you're about to face two Cy Young contenders essentially in the next two games. So maybe you go get Taijuan Walker. Michael Walker's been way consistent. You're at home, though. Look, I don't want to sit here and be like scared of the Phillies. You're at home. You should take two of three, from the Phillies. You should win this series. But that's going to be tough to do if they don't win the game tonight.
Yeah, one of the benefits of this series for me, and one of the benefits of being a Braves fan, is the Braves just got done playing the Phillies. The finale of their series was last night, and then Philadelphia goes from Atlanta to Kansas City. So I've watched the Phillies the last couple of nights, and the Braves took two or three from Philadelphia. The Braves are depleted. Like, their injuries are through the roof, and they're still keeping it a race in the National League East with the Phillies. And especially after taking two of three at home that wrapped up last night. The biggest thing right now is that the Phillies are having some issues offensively. And really, the injuries that the Braves have had, it really extends to their pitching staff as well. And last night, and this game was on Fox nationally last night, Spencer Schwellenbach pitched for the Braves and went seven innings. And I think gave up a couple of runs, but had a bunch of strikeouts. And then their bullpen took over and, shut down. Really, Raisel Iglesias shut down the middle of the Phillies order last night to close out the game and win it 3-2. I think he only pitched had 10 pitches to strike out the side, basically, to get out of it. Harper and Castellanos and Stott. So the Royals are in a position now. They've got a better pitching rotation than the Braves do. So they're in a better spot, I think, than Atlanta was, and they just had Philadelphia in town for three games and took two out of three. So I absolutely think that the Royals, with the talent that they have overall, can do the exact same thing at home.
Yeah, sure they can. And it quick aside, so funny, the Braves and the Rangers are the two most snake-bitten injury teams, our teams, yeah, this year. It's not even close, I don't think. But we get the Royals, thankfully. Yeah, you're not scared of anybody if you're Kansas City. I mean, you're just not. Like, what team in Philadelphia would be as close as there is, probably? What team, when you look at it on paper, and this is some of what we talked about yesterday, can you be like, oh man, that's a better team than the Royals? That's what is so wild about this year to me and the way that this has played out. Could you have imagined in April, or let's call it March? I think we could have imagined, hey, the Royals could be, they could be contending for a playoff spot. At least I have said that with the additions they made in the offseason, you could see a path with the highest upside. We had fooled me once too many times on that. But you're like, yeah, if the starting pitching, if these guys come over and do a nice job, sure, you could see it. They get some good young players, and a lot of those things have happened. But what the remarkable thing about this year has been to me is now we look at it, and could you have imagined in that same time saying, man, the Royals are going to be in the conversation as the best top-to-bottom roster in baseball? Because I would have said, you're flipping crazy if you'd have told me that. Playoff contender? Sure. Everybody can be a playoff contender. One of the best rosters in baseball? I'd have called you crazy. But that is the reality of the situation. Run differential tells you that. And it is because of so many things going the right way this year, right? It didn't really, the only additions that you look at and say just massive contributors are Lugo and Waka, right? Singer, Reagans was an addition a year ago. And then, Renfro now has come around, and some of the play, Frazier, they're contributors, but they're not lighting the world on fire. But it's all come together well, and then they had a really nice trade deadline. But that's the situation we're in right now on August 23rd, is that this roster is as good as anybody else's. So I don't think you look at any of these series and be like, oh man, just survival. When I say I think they need to go 500, it's not because I think they're, you know, they're underdogs or anything like that. It's just the reality of the way this season's played out overall. I'm saying if you can get to 500 through this stretch, I think they'll be in fine shape to make the playoffs. And I don't want to overexpect anything because we've had a whole season of Major League Baseball, not just the Royals, of baseball as a whole to say it's really hard for good teams to beat good teams consistently this year. That's why nobody's going to get to 100 wins.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the best roster from top to bottom. They weren't the best roster from top to bottom before the trade deadline. And no, you know that has absolutely flipped the script for Kansas City. And I remember at the time, and I'm going to eat crow a little bit here, I was underwhelmed by their trade deadline acquisitions at the time. I felt like it was okay at best, but nothing that was, you know, incredibly amazing at the time. I've fully come around on that. I mean, I was wrong on that. Jeff Passan tweeted last night that he gives Kansas City the crown for the best trade deadline performance this year. Lucas Ersig has an ERA of zero since coming to the Royals in over 10 innings. Yeah. Paul DeJong has a slash line of 286, 340, 548 with three home runs. And the Michael Lorenzen has an ERA under two in his time with the Royals over 22 and two-thirds innings. So those three right there have been just absolutely nails for the Royals since coming over.
And those three were not headline guys. Yeah. Harvey was the headliner trade. They gave up far more for Harvey than anything. Now he's been hurt. So, you know, whether he contributes or not this year, you really hope that he does, because that would they need that spot filled pretty badly. You combine that again. We talked about Piccolo for executive of the year. Is it even close? I mean, it can't be. When you look at also what he did in the offseason to bring guys in, like, it cannot be close in who the executive of the year in baseball is this year. I mean, it's been a good button pushing year. And you know what? Karma's maybe in play, because they've had way too many years of pushing all the wrong buttons and just bad fortune. I am a Dayton Moore fan. I think you probably are too with his time in Atlanta. I think he was a great person. I love his ties to this state, and I love what he did for the organization in 14 and 15. They just couldn't get anything right for a lot of years here, and now they deserve this so badly. So you look at the stretch, it's Philadelphia. That's who they'll play through the weekend. It's not so much the Philadelphia as it is what happens next week. Starting with a doubleheader on Monday, they go to Cleveland, to Houston. That's the road trip. Here's the you know, Philadelphia is a good team. So you were, but you're talking about the thing is, all of these teams are playoff teams. Cleveland, Houston, Cleveland, Minnesota. Those are the, and then it'll end with the Yankees, but I don't know that they'll compete as directly with the Yankees. But Cleveland, Houston, Cleveland, Minnesota, like, those are the teams. Those are the teams directly that you're going to be fighting to get that spot. You also get a little excited about what if they get on a hot streak and take a bunch of these? And I think they're certainly capable of that. I don't know whether to be more excited or more fearful. I really don't at this point. It was a weird day yesterday to just sit there. You could see it going insanely well, insanely poorly, or what I'm kind of hoping for is just kind of just get through it and maintain your lead all the way to the playoffs. It is a wild time.
Well, and don't forget, Cleveland lost again last night, and so the Royals are only two games back. Of course, they're still tied with Minnesota in second, but they're only two games back of the Guardians, and that just seems so wild to me. Because of just the lead that Cleveland has had basically this entire season over Kansas City and how hot they were to start the season. They're kind of floundering a little bit. And it wasn't just they lost two of three to the Yankees. You know, of course, those games were in New York. But it was the fact that the finale last night, the Yankees shut them down. The Yankees won 6-0. And so that doesn't bode well, I don't think, for Cleveland as things continue. And it sets up. For, of course, you can't overstate the importance of when these two teams are going to lock horns beginning next week, and the fact that they've got two out of the next three series after Philadelphia, they're head to head. But just the fact that Cleveland has cooled off now, and the Royals are kind of hot right now, and it's a complete 180, I think, from remember the last time these two teams matched up, and it was like at the time, just hang on. Just do what you can to hang on in that three-game set against Cleveland. One game got rained out, and so they you know, kind of escaped with the sweep or with the split. Because Cleveland was so good back then, I think you absolutely like.
And the Royals were banged up.
They were banged up. Like where the Royals are right now when they get an opportunity to face them again.
It is. I completely agree. And while there are parts of this, Philadelphia, maybe Houston, that it's like, okay, just survive these series, you know, just make sure. The Cleveland and Minnesota portion of this 20-game stretch feels like go get them. Right. Feels like go chase it, because Minnesota, the three you get, remember, at home. Kansas City's really struggled in Minnesota. And don't worry about that. They get that one at home. But you do have to play four in Cleveland. So I cannot wait for it. You get the game tonight. Coverage begins here on KFH at 7 o'clock against the Phillies. That's on KFH. Saturday and Sunday, you get 6 o'clock coverage beginning on Saturday, 1 o'clock coverage beginning on Sunday. And if you want to make a day of it Saturday, I'll be on Infinity Sports Network from 11 to 4. I don't think there's any local interruption there, so you should get me all the way through here in Wichita, kind of take you pretty close up to the Royals.
But by the way, that'd be fun as well. Yeah. Really, really quick, your Rangers get the Guardians this weekend. So hopefully they can do the Royals a little favor, beat up on them a little bit, you know, help them out.
They're running out of bodies. But they still have star power, so yeah, they could absolutely do something there in that series if the pitching lines up for them. All right, we'll come back. We'll look elsewhere around the sports world. Don't forget hour number two. We got predictions coming. Really looking forward to that. All kinds of fun stuff. It'll be a new adventure in hour number two, and we'll have that for you. But we'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
In 1240 KFH.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.